Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open thy precious word, and thy word is precious, because the word of God is living, it's alive, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, the incorruptible seed, the seed that brings life. Thank you, Father, that centuries ago, Jesus wrapped up the word in flesh and brought it down to man. Thank you, Father, that Jesus declared God. He declared the love of God and the long-suffering of God. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. May someone today trust Him as their Savior. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. I want us to look again today in the Gospel of John, and if you will, turn please to chapter 5. Now, in the last part of chapter 4, we learned that the entire family of the nobleman was saved because the nobleman went to Jesus and discovered that Jesus was the Savior. Now, why do I say that? He went to Jesus and he told Jesus about his sick boy, and Jesus said, unless you see some sign or wonder, you will not believe. And the nobleman said, come down to my house, ere my child die. And Jesus said, go home, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And when he went home the next day, the servants told him that the boy got well at the very hour Jesus said, go home, thy son, or rather, go thy way, not go home. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now we have in this, of course, verses 46 through 54, this account of the nobleman and Jesus, we have a magnificent picture of the saving grace of God. What did the nobleman do? Now listen, first of all, he heard, somebody told him, he heard that Jesus had come into Cana. He went to Jesus and he made known to Jesus his request. What do you say, Brother Green, can I do that? Yes. Yes, and there's no finer time to do it than at the Christmas season. No finer time than right now. You can make your request known to Jesus. He is not in Cana, he is in heaven. And you, wherever you are, doesn't make a difference where you are, you can bow down upon your knees or sit in a chair or riding down the highway. I'm saying that because it is not necessary that you be in any physical position to reach Jesus. Sitting, standing, walking, riding, flying, it doesn't matter. You right now can make your request known to Jesus as the nobleman made his request known. And Jesus will hear you. And if you'll believe Jesus as the nobleman believed Jesus, he'll work a miracle in your life and in your home if you'll trust and pray and believe the words of Jesus. So, we read the Father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus sent him, thy son liveth, and himself, that is the Father, and his whole house believed. Himself believed, and his whole house believed. This is the second miracle Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, beloved, I said on yesterday's broadcast, I want you to help me win souls during the Christmas season and the rest of the days of this year. So call someone on the telephone right now and ask them to listen to the reading of God's word and the message that I'm going to deliver today. In John chapter 5, we have another beautiful picture of salvation. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, that is, after Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, and after the healing of the nobleman's son and the whole family was saved. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now then, in these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now a long time been in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we have here, I said a moment ago, a magnificent picture of the grace of God, salvation by grace. And we also have a very sad picture. Now, as I said, and I have said so many, many times, we do not know when Jesus was born. We do not know whether Jesus was born December the 25th or November the 25th. It doesn't make any difference. The thing that matters, we know that he was born. That is, I know, and you know, and the only reason I know is because someone was interested in me, and someone told me about the wonderful love of God, the grace of God, and gave to me the Word of God. That's the reason I know. Now, there are millions that know with the head. By the way, just a few days ago, even, this nation, according to the reports from Washington, reached the 200 million mark. Think of that. 200 million Americans. Now, I've asked the Gospelire family to help us this year distribute 2 million tracts. We've printed a little over 2 million tracts for distribution, and we've asked you to help us invite 2 million Americans, and of course to send some to the soldiers, so they'll give them to some of the natives, and many people around the world can read English. So I've asked you to help us invite at least 2 million of the 200 million Americans to become a Christian. Now, I wonder if you are interested. I said we have here a magnificent picture of saving grace, but we have one of the saddest pictures and some of the saddest words in all the Bible. Jesus was going into the city of worship, Jerusalem. He entered near the sheep market where people bought the animals to offer as sacrifices. And so tens of thousands of worshipers passed by the pool where there were a multitude, a great multitude, not just an ordinary multitude, but a great multitude of sick people. And when Jesus passed by, he saw there a certain man that had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus walked up to this man and said, Sir, wilt thou be made whole? He said to this man, Would you like to get well? Do you want to get well? And the man spoke some of the saddest words you'll find in the Bible. The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. Now, Jesus was a busy man. He was unusually busy. I don't think there has ever been another man upon the face of the earth that had so much to do and so little time to do it as the man Christ Jesus. But he was never too busy. He was never in such a hurry. He was never too occupied to listen to the cry of a needy soul and to help a man or a woman, a little child that would exercise faith in his precious name, in his precious words. Now let me say this. For 38 years, this man had been passed by hundreds, even thousands of worshipers. At Christmas time, the vast majority of church people forget all about Jesus. And we think primarily of ourselves, our family, our friends, and we're busy buying gifts and wrapping gifts and decorating the house and the Christmas tree. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. So long as you do not put these things first in your life, I do not see that there is any wrong in a Christian observing Christmas. Now, I know some of you precious people disagree with me, and that's your privilege. I certainly won't fall out with you. But don't condemn me, because I've been studying this Bible 34 years, and I've studied it long, and I've studied it hard, and I've searched the Scriptures. If you worship a Christmas tree, you're a pagan. If you worship the Christmas lights, you are a pagan. You're not a Christian. But if you do not worship these things, and if you do not put them first in your life and first in your Christmas spirit, then I say I see no wrong in it. But the number one thing that you should do, the number one thing that I should do, the number one thing that every born-again believer should do is to be sure and invite unsaved people to come to know the wonderful gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I mentioned in John 4, Jesus said to the poor Samaritan woman, "If thou knewest the gift of God," this is the season of giving. You may not have much money to spend to buy gifts for your family and your close friends. Your financial ability may be limited, but my friend, your spiritual ability is unlimited. I mean by that, "Such as I have," in the words of Peter, "give I thee. Such as I have, give I thee." And if you're a born-again Christian, you have the greatest gift of all to give, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't save anybody, but you can give them the good news. You can give them the word. You can give them a helping hand. You can give them a gospel tract. You can call them on the telephone. You can go by in your automobile and take them to Sunday school, to church, to the Christmas revival. You can certainly do something, give something, be something, say something, live something. Your spiritual opportunities are unlimited in a nation that has just reached 200 million souls. And beloved, sad, but you know it as well as I know it, a great, great, great majority of these 200 million souls, I'm talking about the adults, do not know the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's your business and my business every day, but especially at Christmas time, should we tell them about Jesus. All right. So this man had been there 38 years. He said, "I'd like to get well. I want to get well. I sure would love to walk again. But I don't have anybody to help me. I have no man to help me." Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately, the man was made whole. Now, beloved, if there was ever a man that had a right to say to Jesus, "I can't walk," it was this man. The man upon whom Jesus performed this miracle was 38 years paralyzed. He could have looked Jesus in the face and said, "Who are you?" But he didn't. He could have looked Jesus in the face and said, "I can't walk," but he didn't. He could have looked Jesus in the face and said, "I'm hopeless," but he didn't. He saw something in the face of Jesus. The tender, loving, compassionate eyes of Jesus. Something in the words he uttered. And let me say to you, that something is still in the word. Whether you speak it, whether it's in a booklet or a tract, the word of God is still special. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The incorruptible seed that brings the new birth. The word of God brings saving faith. "He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So, even though Jesus is not here to speak, you're here. You can speak. You can give out the word of God. And it is the word that brings salvation. Now, let me talk to you right out of my heart for just a couple of minutes. Listen to me, beloved. How many people in your neighborhood, how many people on your street do you know by their lives and by their testimony they're saved? How many do you know Christians, born-again Christians on your street, in your neighborhood, in the store where you work, in the place where you mix and mingle with people every day? Now, your privilege and your responsibility is to get the good news to these people that the gift of God did come. The gift of God has been given. And as many as receive Jesus, to them God gives power, authority, the right to become the sons of God. And men who are dead in trespasses and in sins become sons of God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting faith in his shed blood and finished work. Give a tract, a little booklet, Say a word, give a testimony, use the telephone, use your automobile, and invite people to go to church with you, to the revival, to Sunday school, to church next Sunday. Next Sunday night, Christmas Eve, what could be finer than to invite some unsaved person to go to the house of God with you on Christmas Eve? Beloved, we're laborers together. God help us not to be guilty any longer of the sin of passing by those who are paralyzed with iniquity. Men like this dear man, 38 years he had been sick, and he said, I have no man to help me. God to help you, and God help me to help those with whom we come in contact these days just before Christmas Day. Get some good gospel tracts and give them to people, mail them to people, and do what you can to help the poor, paralyzed souls in your neighborhood, on your street, the place where you work. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We are saved by God's grace through faith. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our Father, honor thy precious word today, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and save that poor soul that is paralyzed by sin. Help Christians to be alert and to win souls. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.